Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, June 9th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hey, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just peachy, thank you very much.
Actually, I am.
You're
too.
I'm
doing well. It's a warm day, but I like this better than I do snow, so I'm not complaining.
I'm not going to complain either. I will not complain.
No.
Although I do like my snow. We didn't have snow this year. We had a couple of flakes. But
we need to move to Alaska or something, you know?
We're getting a lot of flakes now, though. But
I think anyway, that's catching nationwide a lot of flakes out there. But go ahead.
Oh, you know what? It is mind-boggling. It really
is.
It is. And we'll be talking about that. But first, gold today was up $15.30 off the high. But still a nice day, $17.14. Silver was down 18 pennies at $17.68. Platinum was $834. Palladium was down $74, almost 4%, 3.75%, $2,013. And a big spread between bid and ask. Huge spread. So anyway, I just thought that was a little interesting. The bid is $1,888 for palladium. So guys, if you have any palladium out there, you better be selling. You have the USD or trading. Trading for gold is the better thing to do. The USDX today was down 0.34 at 96.36. Crude oil was up 51 cents, 38.70. And the paper markets today, nothing. The Dow is down a little bit, 300 points, 27,272. They just had 1,000-plus point rallies, you know, in the last couple of days. So 300 down and bad. NASDAQ was up 29 points at 9,953. The S&P was down 25 points at 3,207. 10-year yield, 0.83%. European London was down over 2%, but, you know, pretty negative. Hong Kong was up. And, you know, that's it in a brief look at the markets. And again, as I mentioned, gold did rise for a second straight day. And yesterday we did talk about the World Bank and their and how they projected such a dire outlook for the global economy this year, saying that it was going to contract the most since World War II. And emerging nations output is going to shrink for the first time in at least six decades due to the virus. We're also going to see maybe bullion prices might get some help from the Fed this week as we have the Federal Reserve meeting. And, of course, it's no big surprise. They're going to keep keep accommodative monetary policies in place. And on Monday, the central bank announced plans to expand its small and mid-sized business lending program. Kind of follows the European Central Bank's decision last week to expand the amount of its bond purchases beyond economists' expectations and extend their duration all the way to the end of June of next year. Not this year, but June of 2021. Oh, it's just amazing. And if they can't cut it. Now, what's going to happen to this economy when the stimulus quits? When all this PPE money, the businesses have used it all up? I mean, enjoy it. And I do think we're seeing a pent-up shopping spree by the people that have been cooped up for 3 months. I think they're able to get out. They're feeling good. Stock market is high. They're going out, going in deeper and deeper in debt, buying new cars, buying this, buying that. So, yeah, you are going to see some, you know, maybe temporary positive impacts from the shopping. But these are people who have retirement accounts where the stock market increases has actually shown positive on their quarterly statements. I'm not so sure you're going to see much of a shopping spree coming from people who are going back to work at Dunkin' Donuts at minimum wage. So, you know, it's going to see how this all is, you know, plays out. But there's just more and more talk of gold going over 2,000 in the near-term future. And so, again, it's a, you know, it's a great day to be buying gold and silver. And
you know, Melody, I will add this. Anyone who's out now and goes in debt now for a new car or anything else really is not thinking too far in the future, because I don't think this is nowhere near over. This is nowhere near over. We haven't seen anything yet. And if this comes back this fall, as I've been told it's going to, with a worse, we'll say, wave, it's going to do more than the first wave did. But going right now and going out and buying anything on credit now, if you can get by without doing it, of course, is not a very wise thing to do. It really isn't. And one of my pet peeves I brought up many times also is the price of gasoline is going up pretty quickly now. It took it forever to drop. When it went down below zero, it still hung up there really high, in my opinion. But once they raised it up, the price back up to 30 in the 30s, the prices start going up and going up quickly. So we're played. They're playing us like a fiddle every day. But to go out now and go in debt, everyone sometimes gets a trading urge, like to have a newer car, maybe whatever. But now is not the time to go in debt. As a matter of fact, for the foreseeable future, I don't know when to tell anybody that I think about going back in debt. I don't see anything changing anywhere in the near future. Do you, Melody, as far as getting better?
No, I mean, these problems have to work their way through, and they're not fixing. And again, things are not going to be better. I mean, we've seen this, these global equities, they've climbed back to the levels that we saw in February. The world has been shut down for 4 months. How does that equal the markets? How does it equal? It's just a function of government support that's being thrown behind these economies. Government support. You know, there's an index that includes stocks in both the emerging and developing world. This gauge is trading at 20 times next year's profits. 20 times. The most expensive since 2002. And this is all normal? This is normal monetary economic policies that are being conducted? And this is healthy? This is building confidence? The only thing that's building confidence in this country is you're being able to go outside and get some fresh air and the stock market. You know, this is, you know, the U.S. stocks did just pass an important psychological milestone in recouping this year's losses. And, you know, you've seen it overseas too in the Asian markets. But again, it's government supported correction. And no one talks about it. You know, speculative excess. Here's something from Bloomberg. Speculative excess. It surged to the highest in at least 20 years among U.S. option traders. A negative for stocks over the medium term. I mean, time everything. If everyone is holding stocks just to pass on to the next greater fool, and if the greatest fool is a central bank with infinity liquidity to buy them, yeah, then I guess the stock market will continue to go up. That's all taxpayers' money. We don't get nothing in return. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And you said they're still doing the bailouts.
Sure.
Are we due for another bailout as we did the $1,200 per person? Has that passed anything yet? I know it's proposed to give everybody another bailout. Has that come before Congress
they're gonna
yet?
They're going to hold it until the stock market drops. They're just not going to come out. You know, they're not going to help people. You know, even though I'm not exactly for it, but it is to help people, you know, that gets the money and so forth. They have a hard time making, you know, their bills and so forth. But they're not going to release that fund until it benefits D.C. It's going to be timed. So, yeah, there's going to be another stimulus, but it's going to be timed. So when is that? I don't know. Prior to the election? To buy votes? I don't know. I don't know, Butch.
I really don't know. I'm sitting back and watching what's happening in my area and other places. Businesses are still not back up. We went to a restaurant yesterday, or day before yesterday, and it's at best it's half seating capacity. At best, sure. Half seating capacity. And I know restaurants, most of them work on a small profit margin. So what's going to happen with those, I don't know. There's some businesses around here like Shoney's. We have a Shoney's restaurant in Somerville also. And their main attraction was a bar. They had a nice buffet. But they're not going to be open because they can't do a buffet. It's out right now. Buffets are not going to be open yet. So Shoney's is not reopened yet. So will they come back? I have no idea. We had Goldman's put in a nice department store opened in January. Of course, they were shut down in March. They're not going to be open. They're closed forever. So, that is not good. I know people say that it's going to pick up, and perhaps it is in some areas. I'm sure it is. But the market is not a true tally of what's happening. It is absolutely a false flag, if you will, to get people to rally around it and say how good things are getting, but it's not getting good. There's so many things going on right now in this country, Melody, and we'll get into BLM matter in a minute and talk about that, but that's boiling. There's so much happening in the political realm, so much unrest, to say the least, and so much anger and hatred even among politicians. It is not good, and I beg people, please don't go out and go in debt. These mayors like in Minneapolis want to shut down the police forces, close them out. All right, what are they going to do without a police force? Do you think people are going to govern themselves? I don't think so. Could they bring the military?
Well, they would create a new police force. They like the word safety.
Oh, so safety force. Okay.
The safety force, yeah. The unicorn safety force.
Unicorn?
Yeah.
Really? What's that mean? Where'd that come from?
No, that's just That's a happy name. Okay.
A pink pony with a horn on his head. But anyway.
Before we go on to that, I just want to touch up on this, too. And I agree. There's a lot of hate and so forth. But, you know, when we talk about the economy and what's going to happen, as many as 25,000 U.S. stores could permanently close this year. I remember when 2019, when 9,800 was a record, and we thought, oh, my gosh. 2 years before that, it was like 2,000. Then it went to 9,800. And now we're looking at 25,000 U.S. stores could close permanently this year because of this industry being devastated, and where many of these businesses are mall-based retailers that were already struggling. 25,000 would shatter last year's record of 9,800. If anchor tenants close stores in the mall, other tenants are likely to follow suit. Department and large apparel chain store closures in malls, it'll create a ripple effect. The U.S. has the most retail selling space per capita of any country and the lowest sales per square feet. And most retailers have been reluctant to shrink their store networks, but they're going to be forced to do so. And, we've already talked. As of June 5th, retailers have planned about 4,000 permanent store closures, hundreds by JCPenney, Victoria's Secret, Pier 1. The list goes on. We talk about them here every time. In March, before the extent and duration of the virus lockdown was clear, CoreSite estimated that about 15,000 stores would shutter, and now we're up to 25,000. So
that's 500 per state average. 500 per state average. Now, I know we probably don't have any stores in the state of West Virginia, but 500 per state average. That is a lot of business, a lot of jobs. If they just hired 20 per store, multiply that, Melody, how many people can be out of work?
Yeah, a lot.
That is
huge.
And
then you have the multiplier. That is huge. And then you have the multiplier effect.
Sure.
But your anchor stores employ more than that.
But anchor stores, JCPenney and a bunch of them, you know, are going under. So that's going to pretty much devastate the rest of the mall, because JCPenney was an anchor store in a lot of malls, at least in our area they were. Yeah. But they're closed now.
So it's even a greater way to control the American people to buy everything online. They can track you. And that's all part of it. Don't think it isn't.
Of course it is.
It might sound silly, but it isn't. They can track everything that you purchase right to your doorstep.
Well, they don't want any privacy left for the American citizen. No privacy. I mean, nothing. Nothing that you do. Anything you do online is not secret. Anything you do with a credit card is not secret. The only way you had anonymity is paying cash for something that you may buy from a friend or neighbor. That was not a transaction that was tracked. That's why they're trying to do away with cash. They want everything done to know what you have and what you sold. So this is going to come to a point that, this is biblical, by the way, folks. This is all Bible. But the beast system knows everything about you, everything you buy and sell. And come a time where you can't buy or sell unless you follow their rules. That's coming to America. It's already starting to come across some places. So this is huge. Melody's right. This is all about tracking us, controlling us, and monitoring us 24/7.
And if you think that you can really get a better deal online, I don't think you can anymore. They're charging taxes. They're charging shipping is outrageous. So how much are you really? And look what's happening to your neighborhoods. Look what's happening to your malls. Buying online is not supporting your community. You know, we talk about buying products made in the U.S. of A. How about buying products that are, you know, to support your mom and pop shops in your neighborhood?
Those are about all gone. Those are leaving.
Well, I'm just using that as a, you know, there's all kinds of stores that you can buy from. Your local farmers.
Sure.
I mean, quit buying online. It's the same thing with Silver Eagles. Quit paying the high premiums. The premiums will come down. They've come down a little. You just have to wait.
But you and I in our lifetime have seen a lot of
we've seen
a lot of things in our lifetime, Mel, they change. You remember the full service stations where you pulled up, a person come out and pumped your gas, checked your oil, checked your air tires? Remember those old type full service stations?
That was one of my first jobs.
Well, mine too, actually. And they're
right
going
back. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Our telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. And I just want to touch on this one thing, Butch, before we move on to something else, because we're talking about store closures and something else that the markets will be bracing for, and that's bankruptcies. We've talked about this before. You have various, all kinds of businesses. You have the list on this article says Art Van Furniture, Bar Louie, True Religion. They all sell different products, but they all have one thing in common. Each one has gone bankrupt this year. Recent data showed 722 companies sought bankruptcy protection around the U.S. last month. That's a 48% increase from the year ago period. Chapter 11 filings also jumped in April and March. So, the weak companies are succumbing to the lockdown recession. We talked about this yesterday. I know you wanted to talk about it again today. We are in a recession.
Yes, we are.
Did anybody hear that on the news? No. All you hear about is the stock market hitting record highs. It's unbelievable.
And the riots and the protest.
Yeah. We had another funeral today. Another one. I don't know how many funerals a person can have. And I don't mean to be sarcastic. I'm just, it's, how many funerals are you going to have, Butch?
Well, they're getting all the mileage you can out of this. You know that. That's just the way it is. We're going to discuss that in more detail. That's what you're doing. But I got to say one thing about talking about the old time service stations. I used to work at one. And we put oil in cars, and change and check gas, put gas in cars. And I remember when they first came out back in the 50s. They started putting gas caps in odd places, like under license plates or in tail lights. I remember was a young guy trying to find the gas tank in some of these cars. It was embarrassing to ask somebody, "Where's the gas tank?" And one time, I believe it was Oldenville, had a gas tank in the tail lights. You raised up the tail light, put gas in. So those are things I remember. Those, and it sounds silly now, but those are big things to a teenager trying to figure out how to do his job and couldn't even find a gas tank to put gas in. So anyway, I thought I'd share that. Just a good memory.
Those were the good old days.
They really were. They truly were. Now I'm looking here at how this BLM movement is heating up in the wrong way. I don't know the details of what happened with this gentleman. I've heard he raped a white woman, and I heard he was a drug addict. I don't know. I cannot tell you for sure. I'm looking here at both sides and the ignorance of both sides. So Democrats, this is a picture of Democrats in Congress. Democrats take a knee in the U.S. Congress in the George Floyd tribute. There's looks like about 12 or so people there, men and women both, black and white, taking a knee for a tribute to George Floyd. And then remember the 75-year-old guy that got knocked down, went and ended up in the hospital? You remember that, of course.
A couple of cops.
Okay. Trump claims he was the 75-year-old Buffalo protester could be an Antifa provocateur. I don't know. That's what he said. Trump says he was an Antifa provocateur. So the left does this, the right.
Talking.
Yeah, really. Officers slashed tires on vehicles parked amid Minneapolis protests and unrest, and the two law enforcement agencies acknowledged Monday that officers patrolling Minneapolis during the height of recent protests knifed the tires of numerous vehicles parked in unoccupied at least two locations in the midst of unrest. Why would the cops slash tires cars? I don't know. Henrico prosecutor, a Hanover man who drove into a protest, is admitted KKK leader. The Hanover County man arrested Sunday for driving his truck into a crowd of protesters is an admitted leader of the Ku Klux Klan, a propagandist for the Confederate ideology. Henrico County's top prosecutor said Monday, Henry H. Rogers, 36, has been charged with attempted malicious wounding, felony vandalism, and assault and battery. He's being held without bond. So we have both sides going after it. 100 armed vigilantes rouse fear, soul searching in Shohomish. This is in Michigan. It was a festive night of tailgating and celebratory pleasantries with no really harsh terms or anything. The atmosphere you expect at the start of a parade, Shohomish Police Chief Keith Rogers said. But over two nights of heated and heartbroken comments at public city council meetings last week, Shohomish City Councils endured for 4 hours of scathing criticism from citizens, teachers, students, and business owners who saw something far more sinister that last Sunday. These 100 guys armed themselves to protect the local businesses and boutiques from being vandalized, and I can't say anything against that. I just can't say that they didn't do what's right. I don't know the background of these men and women that did this. I have no idea. They call them armed vigilantes, but they did save some businesses, and one of them, of course, there's flaunting patches of hate groups. I don't know. I know their motive to protect businesses was good. But police chief, this is in Lowell, Michigan, the police chief is forced to resign after supporting citizens who armed up amid riots. The police chief, Stephen Bukula, was forced to resign on Thursday after 25 years with the force after writing on Facebook his support of four young men who armed themselves against potential violent protesters. After a flood of complaints as part of what WZZM says was a pattern of inappropriate behavior, the city manager told Bukla to resign by 5 p.m. on Friday and be fired at 5:01 p.m. So you can see that both sides are getting really going to extremes. To fire a police chief's been on the force 25 years because he supported four guys trying to protect businesses. To the Democrats taking a knee in Congress, it's going beyond common sense now. It's going into a very dangerous atmosphere and actions that could lead to a lot more unrest, Melody, and maybe a lot more bloodshed. I kind of admire the business owners that so far have held their cool. Although I don't know how they've done it. I don't know why they've done it, but I kind of admire it in them. But when it breaks loose and somebody finally says, this is enough, you're not burning my business or my home, my livelihood, and they open fire, then what could happen? That is the next step that's going to happen if this doesn't quiet down. Somebody's going to say, no, it's enough. Then what happens?
Well, yeah. And, you know, I don't like to go down that road.
Well, I don't either.
Because I think that's a road I don't think needs... I think everybody understands where we're headed. And because there's so many... And you're right, there certainly it's divided. And, you know, there's... Everybody knows where it's headed. You know, it's unfortunate because everyone is missing what's really important. Because everybody is taking up their own individual
their own agenda.
Instead of coming together as American citizens, and the politicians, the media, both sides, are fueling it.
That's right.
You have to be brain dead not to see how they're fueling it, both sides, from the top down.
Wouldn't you like to hope that maybe one day you see a news media or a politician that will say that someone that people know might say, listen, folks, this is not the wrong, this is the wrong way to do this. Let's get together and figure this thing out. Let's not kill each other over this. Let's work together and stop some of this. Let's build something common here. But we need some people that are in the news media that are going to do that, and I haven't seen one yet. And maybe a politician or a senator or a congressman will say the same thing. But I haven't seen that, have you?
No, not at all. And that should be coming from the top.
Yes, it
I'm
should.
I'm sorry,
I agree.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it should.
It should be coming from the very top. And it's just... we know where this is headed. And, I mean... Yesterday I mentioned Oprah. She's doing this program. This is what we want, and we're going to discuss our demands. Demands? Excuse me? Who do you think you are? And again, how many funerals does one person get? I mean, it's, you know what, Butch? I don't know if this is the right analogy or not. But, you know, they're pulling down all these statues. I mean, they're even pulling down statues of people who were for the, I mean, who did good things for the blacks.
Yes.
Because they're stupid. Because they don't know their history. Nobody teaches them their history on who's who and what happened and why. So they pull down things that, you know, would be like pulling down a statue of Martin Luther King. So my point is, and no disrespect, I mean, this man lost his life. We witnessed an execution, and they keep playing it and playing it and playing it on television, on cable, just to keep the people fired up. That's what it's all about. He did not have a good history. He was in jail. He was a drug addict. He had drugs in his system when he died. You know, he didn't, and you can't hold a man's life, you know, I mean, I'm not, help me out, Butch.
Well,
I'm not holding his life against him, but you also can't hold him up as a martyr or a saint, basically.
No, you can't.
And it's the same thing with our history. They're willing to wipe away our history, but they won't even discuss this man's history. It doesn't make any sense. What's wrong with people? Hopefully that made sense. But it's,
well, if cooler heads don't prevail and common sense prevail, it's going to get really nasty. And I'm praying that it will. I really am. But I'm seeing more and more lack of unity in American people. There's not much unity left. Between space between the races, there's not much unity left. Used to be common ground was not hard to find. Everybody just wanted to make a living and to rear their families and you know, live a good life. But that's no longer the case. The common ground's no longer there. So it's just, we'll see. On top of everything else, with all the economic situation, the stress behind that, people losing their jobs, then this happens and the news media fans it just like they did a virus. I mean, they fan it. They actually put gasoline on it. They want it to burn hotter and hotter. They're not trying to make things calm down to get things back to somewhat normal. They keep on hyping this up to the point that there's wouldn't cause division and cause problems. The news media is absolutely the worst enemy of the American people right now. That's all I got to say about that. That's just a fact. The so-called mainline news is one of the worst worst enemies of the American society today, period. You can blame the politicians if you want to, but politicians are limited what they can do as far as getting something started and making it grow. News media picks it up and makes it grow. News media spreads the propaganda. News media fans of flames. Not the politicians, the news media.
Yeah, but they get the propaganda from the politicians. And the
That's
politicians
true, but
they're
the one blowing up.
But the politicians could try to control it if they... Because
they could.
They get to talk to their constituents, and they're not.
Well, the news media can take one statement, whether good or bad, either one, but most times bad, and blow it up to proportions
that makes it
sound like this. They're devils, and oh well, we better move on. We spend a whole hour on that. But
and then we have this Governor Andy Beshear, Kentucky.
Oh yes, yes.
He announced that the state's going to work toward correcting racial inequalities and healthcare coverage, among other areas across the state. During his daily updates in Frankfort the last 3 months, he's been providing a breakdown of the racial makeup of the state's, and this all came from the virus, but now it's even... Isn't that discrimination?
Well, 100% healthcare coverage for all black residents. Yes, that is discrimination. Total discrimination, and maybe more blacks die from the virus than other races. I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. But even if that were true, you can't discriminate against somebody else because their system isn't the same as somebody else's. You can't say, well, we're going to take care of this person, I'm not going to take care of you. No, you don't do that. That is racism. That is totally racism.
Well,
and Bashir is a jackass, to be quite honest with you. He really is. He's a total idiot. I can't believe he got elected. But this is going to cause more heated situations because the people in Kentucky are going to be ticked off that the blacks are getting complete coverage and the whites are being shunned. This is not happening by accident. This is on purpose. He knows what he's doing. He's causing more division.
Absolutely.
You know,
but the thing of it is, even if more blacks did die from the virus, it's environment. It's not that because they were put in that environment because they were black. A lot of their environment is...
It's society
with multiple people.
Yeah, that's their society. That's their culture.
It's their culture. They don't want... And I hate to say it's their culture, because if we're American citizens, it should be our culture. And not everybody is... we're on all different realms. But when it goes way back. With the affirmative action... all these programs, whenever government gets involved, they just screw it up.
Every time. Every time.
Every time.
Every
they
time,
want
exactly.
people to be slaves.
Every
they
time.
They want people to be dependent on them, on government. And it's like, I can't figure out why people can't figure this out.
I think... probably some do, but they don't know what to do. They don't know how to end it. They don't know what to do. They feel hopeless and helpless. And I know how that feels. We all get that way once in a while. When the economy's suffering, people are suffering economically, and all this is going on top of it. It's called being overwhelmed. You can only cover so much. You know that. Your mind just can accept just so much, and. So I think it's people just overwhelmed, and we haven't seen anything yet. I'm afraid it's going to get much worse since this fall. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope they have an election, and I hope it's run by.
We're not going to have an election, but I don't know if people are overwhelmed. They just don't care to know the truth. They just don't care to.
Well, that's part of it too. I know that. That's definitely part of it. That's definitely part of it for sure. But I talk to people too to say that people told me I know you're right, but what can I do? So they just shut off.
They react.
Yes.
On the other side,
yes.
They react. They react for whatever people tell them. You should be angry. And all of a sudden, they become angry. It's the mob mentality, the herd mentality.
Yep. Here we are.
I got a text in from, and it is funny. He says, I think it may be a good idea to defund the police departments, but first defund Congress and rebuild everything.
I hear music.
You hear music?
I think we're on break.
I don't hear music.
It just went off. We had music.
Oh, I didn't hear it at all.
Are we on break, Todd?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, and I guess we missed the music. Maybe you heard it, but we didn't. We just kept right on talking. So, but I was just talking about...
Finish your email. Finish your email, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was from Rob, and he just said it could be a good idea to defund the police departments. But first, before we do that, I'm adding a little bit. Let's defund Congress.
Oh, yeah.
Let's defund Congress and rebuild everything. Well, there's more to defund than Congress. We got all three branches that we have to defund. But
I'm all for that.
But you know, I was reading an article about Camden, New Jersey, where they did eliminate. But Camden, New Jersey, used to be one of the most violent places in the country. Back in 2010, 2011. And I guess they did close their police department, fired everybody, and they hired about 100 of the police officers back. But the population is about, I think, a third of what Minneapolis has. So it's a much smaller population. But what they did is they brought these policemen back in. They got rid of the corrupt ones. And every time a policeman is hired, he has to go to the community in which he is going to patrol. He introduces himself to the people. He builds a relationship, and they've seen their crime drop. I think they said it dropped like 40%. But wow. You know, if you have crime that's 90, you know, if you have a high, you know, 40% is really a lot. But there's a lot more that needs to be done. But I don't know. You know, they have cookouts for the people. The police have cookouts. They're becoming. I don't know if you can do that everywhere. I don't think you could do that in Chicago and some of the areas that the police don't go into. I don't know, Butch. Can you?
Well, in the small communities, Chicago, I think, very difficult. But I think it's a very good idea in small community because the cops are really part of the community, and they need to be part of it on more than a level, just living there. If they get let people get to know them and see that, hey, they're just regular people trying to do a job, and if they're trying to do a good job, then I think it's a great idea. I really do. I don't know. A lot of the folks, that gentlemen I knew that were cops when I was younger, are retired now. But I do know some of the young guys that will say are cops in Summersville near and near me, whatever. They're pretty nice young men. They know me and respect me. Most of them understand what I do and why I do it. So that's good. I mean, they know they have nothing to fear from me. And that's important. And so, yeah, I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's great to let the people get to know who's there and what they're doing there and work together as a community. Not cops versus people, but people work with people. And yeah. And the cops have gotten by with a lot more than they should have. That's no doubt about it. Their so-called authority is expanded way beyond what it should be. But you don't get it back by fighting. It'll just make it worse.
But I'm going to take the other side, too. I agree with you 100%. But being a police officer in today's world, where there's so much violence, so much drugs, and when people are drugged out, they have the strength of the Hulk. And so how do you react? You shoot them in the leg and then they come and kill you?
Well,
I mean, you have to... And so it is a very fine line, I think, Butch.
It is.
And I want to see the video. Now, there's been no interviews of the business owner where he was trying to pass the $20 bill. I haven't seen any. And there's no video from the time they're standing there outside the store to the time that he's on the ground. Have you seen that video?
No, none. If it's there, it hasn't been shown.
So what happened from standing there to being on the ground?
I agree.
That's a big lapse of time.
Yes, it is. It is. But again, Mel, when you have it, when you have a,
and again, I'm not condoning what, you know, the guy should be in prison. But
when you have a community that are people that have lost the moral balance, and I know I keep going back to this, but there's no point in saying it's not true because it is. Whenever we have a community, people that have lost their sense of morality because they have no way, nothing to base it on besides what they think is right and wrong, that's why society's collapsing. Without the absolute laws of God to govern not only this individual but also civil authority, God's law governs both. They must both be righteous, but no one knows that. No one really thinks about that. So when you lose that, you lose everything. But you move on something else now. But that's very important.
And look at, you know, when we talk about the violence, Chicago suffers the deadliest day in 60 years.
Yes. Yes.
With 18 murders, 21 shot over the weekend in St. Louis. 7 people shot within 10 minutes in separate Brooklyn incidents. So, you know, it's hard to imagine police going up against this with cooking hot dogs on the weekends with the same people. I don't know.
Yeah, it is rough.
Yeah. And I think it's the greatest answer, that they have, but...
Well, but back to
difficult.
Economics, too. It is difficult, and there's no simple way out of it. Actually, it is simple, but it's not going to happen, because in order to change this nation, you got to change the mindset of what's right and wrong,
right,
and what morality really is. And that's based on God's Word. Nothing else will stand. That's all there's to it, and that's what's happened to our country. Okay. But... you saw this article called Bloomberg, that a Christ in U.S. dollar is coming. Have you seen that?
I did.
And that's kind of, it's telling the truth. It isn't fun to read, but so the air of the U.S. dollar is the exorbitant privilege as the world's primary silver reserve currency is coming to an end. Then French finance minister Valerie Giscard d'Estaing coined the phrase in the 1960s, largely out of frustration, bemoaning a U.S. that drew freely on the rest of the world to support its overextended standard of living. For almost 60 years, the world complained about did nothing. Those days are over. And we did. We did build our standard of living upon the backs of other nations. We did. That's a fact. We did. And now the people, the world is getting tired of it. Our standard of living is dropping. Whether it's intentional or not makes a difference. We're turning into, we'll say, a third world nation, are we not? We really are.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's no domestic savings. Everybody took advantage of the deal and everybody got very wealthy.
Yep.
And
on
that's
credit.
What it was all
on
about.
Credit.
On credit.
A lot of them got wealthy on credit. On credit. We all done that. You know, we bought homes, bought cars, we got jobs, we paid for them, I guess, but we went in credit. And now we're seeing, it says the U.S. cities crumble, demand for rural and suburban properties is soaring. People are wanting out of the towns. I mean, wealthy buyers reportedly in bad, mad rush to leave San Francisco. They're buying places out in Napa and Martin and other places like Carmel outside the cities, the one out of the cities. And I can understand that. With all that's happening right now in the bigger towns, who wants to be there? I don't. It's not worth the effort. Properties in the cities are so expensive. Living there is so expensive. Why would you want to be there with all that's happening? Not only economically, but with the unrest and with the people and the people and the citizens. I mean, why would you want to stay there? Maybe it'll get to where you are in the country sooner or later. But at least right now, being out in the country is somewhat of a reprieve of all this stress with the different battle of gangs and everything that's happening. The gangs and others, mobsters, are all usually stationed in huge cities. And so people are getting tired of it. And the wealthy are trying to get out of there. I'm sure they're not going to be able to sell their properties right away, but they're wanting to get outside of the towns, Melody. And that, by the way, that's also Bible. But that's happening right now in America. The cities that used to be called the garden centers, like San Francisco and New York City, you know, they were all considered great places to be. They're losing their appeal all of a sudden. And it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
It does.
It truly does.
It
now
does.
You go ahead. I'll shut up a minute.
No, you're doing fine. I'm listening, and well, you're doing great. You're on a roll. Keep going.
I did a teach this past weekend, a Bible study. I generally do current events and then a Bible study. This weekend, I tied the current events in with a Bible study on Revelation chapter 6. Now, folks, just read Revelation 6, the first 12, 13 verses. You'll see where I'm coming from. I think we're living it right now. Now, I am not a prophecy teacher. I'm not. I never did a lesson on prophecy in such details as I did this past Saturday. But this ties in with it. One of the horses that are loosed in the Revelation 6 is the one of famine, hunger. A biblical locust plague has put millions on the brink of famine. Beings upon beings of hungry desert locusts are ravenously devouring crops over a vast portion of the globe that stretches from eastern Africa all the way to India. This unprecedented plague was supposed to be subsiding by now, but instead, a fourth generation of locusts has emerged that is producing swarms that are up to 8,000 times larger than what we witnessed earlier this year. Some of these swarms are the size of major cities. They can travel up to a little over 93 miles per day, and when they descend upon a farm, they can literally eat everything there in as little as 30 seconds. Because these swarms are not affecting the United States, most Americans don't understand the immense devastation that's happening on the other side of the globe right now. The UN is warning that mass starvation is coming, and we are being told that it's going to begin by the end of this calendar year. No doubt it's already started. And Melody, we're not immune to this. We get a lot of our crops overseas too, but with the weather being like it has been, whether you believe weather modification or not, the weather's been really strange. I mean, North Georgia, it snowed in May. And the farmer down there that a friend of mine knows said it's never happened before down there. They're late getting their crops out. But they're predicting that this year, for whatever reason you will believe, this fall is going to be colder at a much earlier time of year. It's just going to destroy the summer crops. Starvation, folks, right now to Americans as a whole has been a stranger. It's unheard of. We never had to think about before. But it could happen. And I think it will happen according to prophecies. But in other nations where you have locusts, the swarms as big as larger cities covering 93 miles a day can clean up a whole farm in 30 seconds, building. That is devastation, is it not?
Yes, it is.
I mean, I know we Americans have become so spoiled. I'm guilty. I haven't missed a meal my whole life unless I wanted to. Dad and Mom, they had a lot of money, but always had brown beans and potatoes to eat. We didn't go to bed hungry. They went to bed cold. You know, we had clothes to wear. We've been spoiled. We've become soft spiritually, mentally, and physically as Americans. We have become accustomed to it. And that's not necessarily bad, except it made us soft in a lot of ways it shouldn't have been. And one last article here I think is important too. North Korea assumes warlike posture, cuts off all contact with the South. You remember the great inroads Trump thought he made with North Korea? He walked over and crossed the line in North Korea and shook hands with the Prime Minister of North Korea, and all these things are opening up and North Korea were actually doing business with each other again. All of a sudden, this cut off. North Korea even cut off the emergency communications lines from South Korea. They will not talk to South Korea at all. Because, as I said, South Korea was sending defectors, leaflets over the border. So because they're still sending leaflets across the border, I guess, to offer people immunity in South Korea, they have cut off all communications. Not even emergency lines are open. So I guess it's totally closed down now, the borders of North South Korea. All that work and time put in, all the things we thought we gained with Un and all the rest of them, is now gone. That really is sad.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, that's North and South Korea have been at odds since 1950s. It's been like Vietnam was for a while, split. It's been at odds. So what's going to happen next, I don't know. But, you know, I really was kind of thrilled whenever I saw some progress being made over there. But I didn't get my hopes up too much because it's still too much hurt feelings, I think, between North and South. And now we're seeing this come together now. They're going back into the so-called Cold War between the two nations. Mm. That's just something I want to cover before we went off the air today because I think that's important. These people live in North and South Korea. They got to live with this. So that's where we are.
Well, you also have to wonder how much impact China, our relationship with China, now we're heading into, you know, a similar situation. We know the relationship that North Korea has with China. And so, you know, it all plays against itself or with itself or whatever.
Yes.
Or whatever. I mean, it all works together. And, you know, if we're having a bad relationship with one country, it's going to affect other ones in today's world. So, is too bad because they wanted to do that pipeline down through Russia.
Yep, they did. And nations will choose sides with either or party, and that's not good, but it is happening.
It is happening. And what's happening is we're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. So, ladies and gentlemen, be safe. Good night. And God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.